You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Let's do Stat of the Day with Mike Schur. He is ready. He is joining us every day, hopefully until the end of times. At the end, as we are ravaged by drought and flood. The last thing I want anyone is Mike Schur doing the Stat of the Day once again for another day on our show.
Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day. It is the Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day. It is the Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day. It is the Stat of the Day. Stat of the Day, Stat of the Day. It is the Stat of the Day.
Shohei Ohtani currently leads the Angels in both plate appearances and innings pitched this season. According to at Stats by Stats, the last player to lead his team in both categories for an entire season was Jim Devlin of the Louisville Grays in 1876.
It's every day with him, Mike. No, this is funny, though. On this beat, right, you can say that every day a statistic is being produced that hasn't produced since Heinie O'Doul was a second baseman patrolling, you know, the 1880s. Yeah.
The Louisville Grays, a city that doesn't have a team and a team name that doesn't exist anymore when America was 100 years old.
I've got a couple of questions for you, and we urge you all to check out the podcast where you will get baseball and more. But I need to get caught up on a couple of things, Stugatz, that happened while I was away. Ozuna from the Braves. That whole story where you've got, I don't know whether you guys talked about it at all, but you've got a guy that I'm surprised is in the league, okay? I don't even know how it is. I guess it's union strength that Marcell Ozuna, who was great as a Marlin and then got traded, would find himself playing for the Braves and employable. Struck me as odd given the nature of the video and stuff around his crime. And then it, you know, he gets pulled over for DUI and he tries to get out of it with Ozuna from the Braves. Did you have any thoughts on all of that? Because he was a very good player for the Braves, and it doesn't seem to matter that that the Braves don't actually need him at all anymore.
Well, this is a classic case of talent lengthening your career through scandal, because he's excellent. And what he is charged with is incredibly serious. He allegedly, it was aggravated assault. He I believe strangled his, grabbed his wife by the neck and like threw her against a wall. And then there was some fishy thing with the investigating office, the DA's office, which said, no, this isn't, there's video of it. And they were like, well, it doesn't, you know, add up to the charges don't match the video or something weird like that. He was suspended for a couple weeks, and then he sort of went back to playing baseball, and he's very good at baseball. And then he had a DUI earlier this month. The encouraging thing to me, if you want to try to find something encouraging in this classic case of an athlete just being allowed to continue to play through scandal, is when he came back, he was booed by the crowd. Like, the Braves crowd booed him. And that's a rare thing. Like, I think we all remember the horrifying scene of Ray Rice taking the practice field in Baltimore and getting a standing ovation for some reason. And in this case, like, there were audible boos when he came out onto the field, and that gave me a little bit of hope. But I don't, this is a, this is not a first offense for him. And I also was surprised and a little bit chagrined to find that they were just like, yeah, go ahead, play baseball again. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, except that we've seen this before. The sports leagues don't take things like domestic abuse or DUIs seriously until their hands are forced. Like, the Matt Araiza thing in Buffalo is the same situation, where they were like, we're doing the right thing in cutting him. It's like they knew about this months ago. So, you know, it's another sad chapter in like a continually sad saga in professional sports, which is that these teams will just get away with as much as they can get away with by not getting rid of these guys when they should.
But you're a comedy writer, and when I present to you his resume, when at 3 o'clock in the morning he's speeding and the officer is coming by the side of the car with video, and what you get is sloppy superstar reaching out of the car with his Major League Baseball identification with the license and saying, yeah, Ozuna from the Braves.
Yeah.
It really gives off like, hey, I get away with stuff in this town. I'm Ozuna from the Braves, even though, like, what did you see what he already got away with? Like, the arrogance in it was chilling to me as you know, you would write that scene.
Well, he pulled the classic move. He pulled the "Do you know who I am?" move that so many guys have tried. And like, they try it because it works occasionally. Like, that world is not gone where you can say like, hey, you got to let me go. I'm an important professional athlete. And in this case, it didn't work. But like, that they keep trying it because it keeps working. So until it stops working forever, those guys will keep trying it.
You can't be surprised that he pulls out the Ozuna card. Like, sounded bad.
It's $5.
Yeah. Man.
Well, $5. I'll take it out of the $150 that you owe. No, it's actually $170 now. But you can't blame him for pulling out the Ozuna card. The Ozuna card's been working his entire life. Like,
I can't blame him for pulling out the Ozuna card. I mean, it's staggering. Dude,
what do you think he would do in that situation? What else is he going to do? I'm not Ozuna. I mean, what helps him more?
The point is to try to not be in that situation.
Be Ozuna.
I understand that, but once you arrive in that situation, him pulling out the Ozuna card,
I'm laughing at it, Stugatz. Right. I am not surprised that he pulled it out. The arrogance in it is breathtaking. It is a thing to behold that you would be so arrogant as to think that your talents could overcome the resume that arrived at that drunken recklessness.
Can we also clear the air that it's not union strength? That's not why he's still playing baseball.
No, it's ownership hubris. By the way, can I clean up two things from yesterday?
Sure.
What happened?
Okay, here's thing number one.
Hubris.
I found the beautiful watercolor that Mina Kimes made of Jose Canseco getting hit on the head.
Thank you.
Baseball.
Please,
oh, really?
let us see it. Thank you. Yes, this is, we should be, why are we not selling this for charity with Mina Kimes to help animals?
Because it's Mike's. He doesn't want to sell it. He donated to charity already.
I got it. Yeah. I got it because I donated to charity. So I guess I could sell it for charity again.
You can't just pick Mike's possessions and start selling them off for charity.
That's how you do it, Mike.
I think we should like, it's sort of like flipping a house, turn it into a bigger charitable donation by flipping it.
But also, I don't want to give it up. It's amazing. Look at it.
It is nice.
It's a beautiful triptych that she painted just for me.
Dan, do you want me to go to your house and start picking all your prized possessions, your prized collections of art, and be like, yeah, we should just give it away to charity?
I'll join you.
Yes. Yes.
Actually, the other thing is, you were talking yesterday about a theoretical situation in which I think Greg Cody would have a magic card that allowed him to get free Kentucky Fried Chicken for life or something like that.
Yes, Billy is working on that. I don't know why. Billy is now, we are now officially sponsored by KFC. I saw that we had a human interaction with KFC yesterday where a listener just went to KFC for the first time in many years, and the Colonel and his family thanked him personally on Twitter.
Okay, so this theoretical magic card that gives you free KFC for life. So my late father-in-law, Regis Philbin, had this for McDonald's. So he did an ad, I think, for McDonald's sometime in like the early 90s. And as part of the thanks for this, he was given like a gold, not real gold, but like a gold colored like credit card thing that said like this card entitles Regis Philbin to free McDonald's for life. And he loved this. And so when my wife was a child, they would be on like a car trip somewhere and he would see a McDonald's and he would get really excited and he would pull in to the McDonald's and he would go inside and he kept this thing with him in his wallet and he would rush up to the counter and they would order a bunch of Big Macs and stuff. And then he would go, look, I get free McDonald's for life. And then the cashier would just stare at it confused because it was like, what is this? Why is Regis Philbin in this random McDonald's demanding free $3 hamburgers? And they would go, I've never seen this before. I have to call someone. And then like, it would be this confusing thing. And eventually he would go, it's fine, just here. And he would just pay for the food. And it never worked because everyone, it was just a very confusing object because it's not a thing that anyone has.
Love the idea of that employee showing up to work that day. Yeah, that didn't come up in the
onboarding.
In the handbook.
Yeah.
It's as if, though, honestly, if you think about it, it's as if a celebrity walked in and said just with their hands, hey, I have this glowing orb. It entitles me to all your stuff for free.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do with that? And then who do you even call to see if this is real? And also, I like to believe that the card itself was more of a symbolic gesture. And then he was just like, no, this is great. I get free McDonald's. But then no one ever informed the thousands of employees around the globe that if you ever see this, you give this guy free food.
Classic Reg.
I want to congratulate you, Mike Schur, and tell the audience now that you at Metal Arc Media have done such a good job as an intern on Stat of the Day that we are now promoting you to one Stat of the Day a day and also one Regis Philbin story a day now. So, okay, we are going to do that going forward. Yes, Reg of the Day and Stat of the Day.
And we get to go through your house and sell your
food. We will auction.
Yes.
Well, but do you know how much
stuff we're done with Samson?
Yeah, wait a minute. Do you know how much stuff this guy has of Regis that we could sell for charity? Like
do
this.
You?
This is. I don't. But I feel
do
like
you,
we
Mike?
Could. I feel like we could rummage through all his things and give it all away to charity.
We're turning this into like a Regis Philbin estate sale now. All of a sudden.
Do you have anything from Regis, Mike?
I have some things. They're. I would call them family heirlooms. Looms that I'm not that aren't for
let's
sale.
Sell them.
But yeah,
his daughter too.
The McDonald's card still around?
No, I've looked for the McDonald's card because I wanted to try it. I wanted to see if I could find it, but I think it's long gone. I mean, it was like 30 years ago. But sure, yeah, sell whatever I've got in my house. It doesn't matter to
Billy,
me.
You lit up.
These things.
You lit up at the idea of a McDonald's all-access card that Regis Philbin had one.
Well, because I'm glad that he told that story because that was going to be my exact question was what happens when he actually tries to use it at a restaurant? Because there's no way that someone that's working behind the register was onboarded at McDonald's somewhere on a road trip in middle America. Like in the event that Regis Philbin shows up, this is what you do when he presents the card to you.
They should present their employees with everyone who has the card though, right? I mean,
no,
but that's the problem. It's like, okay, it's Regis Philbin and Mikhail Gorbachev and, you know, like it's probably like a dozen people who are never, 11 of whom are never going to go into a McDonald's. So,
all right, Mike.
Mr. Gorbachev, order me a hash brown.
All right, Mike, read you the
Wait,
day.
Sorry. Was that a Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall parody?
That was limited fake Ronald Reagan, yes.
So they went to McDonald's together in this situation?
Yes, they did. Thank you for dissecting that.
Can I say rest in power in this situation?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He like kind of ended the Soviet Union.
Well, then rest in power.
Well, now the hockey game did that.
that's true.
Mitt Romney has the McDonald's golden card, Mike. So does Bill Gates and Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, yeah, I could actually see using it.
Buffett goes there every day.
People unlikely to be going into a roadside McDonald's in like rural Pennsylvania.
Haven't you seen though that Warren Buffett is like crazy in that he sets aside like the exact change that he needs for his McDonald's breakfast every single morning? Like he'll go with his, like he has it figured out, like it's $1.37 because he orders the exact same thing every day and pays like to the penny so that he doesn't get change.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories about him like that he still doesn't he? Or maybe it's all the Walmart. I can't remember. It's all the Walmart guys used to fly coach everywhere, and it's like a drive old pick. Sam Walton used to drive like an old beat up pickup truck. Like, I don't know.
Hold on a second, though. Juju is saying that J.J. Watt has a golden Chipotle card.
Wow.
A lot of athletes have those, Dan. It's a thing now. Or it was a thing in like 2010. Then the whole norovirus thing happened. Chipotle kind of dropped off a little bit. I still ate there, though, that entire time.
I thought all the Subway athletes got those for Subway. Like every time you see a Subway commercial, they get the Subway card.
You should ask Golic. Didn't he do a whole Subway thing?
Mike?
I left you hanging there. I'm so sorry, Mike.
By the way,
I'm a Golic expert. You host a show with them. I don't know.
So do you.
This sound is 5 minutes overdue. Everything about this segment has been. Look at me, dialing up a Regis Philbin anecdote to knowing the exact change for Warren Buffett, Walmart guys flying coach, everyone here. Look at me, Louis.
One of my most awkward exchanges with Mike Schur that I'm sure he doesn't remember.
Basset Hound?
No, not the Basset Hound. It was worse than the Basset Hound.
Quick to that.
It was like a season of The Masked Singer a couple years ago. And like some of the people guessed like, oh, this is Regis Philbin. So I texted him like, hey, people think that the crocodile is Regis Philbin. And he goes, I can guarantee you it's not Regis Philbin. And then like 3 weeks later, he passed away. I was like, oh.
I do not remember that.
Awkward.
Don't beat yourself up.
Billy. Awkward.
Well, then the Basset Hound thing happened and that cleared all of that up. Yeah.
What happened, Mike? Please tell me. I didn't understand because I was away, and I walked into a room yesterday, and evidently there was something that happened with those two bad judgment clowns, Amin El-Hassan and Zach. Did something happen that was an interaction with you awkward?
I just joined to do my daily stat of the day duties as a good little intern, and I walked into the weirdest vibe I've ever sensed in any room anywhere where they were talking about Aubrey Plaza movies, and I was legitimately and interestedly asking them about what Aubrey Plaza movies they had watched. And then I started to get this really weird spidey sense that something terrible had happened over the course of the show. And then they just kept asking me the same questions over and over again and talking about the same things over and over again. And it wasn't until I eventually figured out that they had been caught in a weird time loop and had just been living the same 8 minutes of show over and over again. But it was also weird that they hadn't said to me before they started asking me these questions that they hadn't told me that this was the 11th time they had had the same discussion.
Aubrey Plaza, though, she's having a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, she's having a moment. That's right.
Do you guys realize when I say cinephobe, check it out, A Descent into Bad Judgment.
Mike, are you wearing a Hall & Oates shirt?
We can't do it again.
Please don't. I wasn't even here on Monday. Please don't do this.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Mustard mixes with mayonnaise better than ketchup does.
What?
Yes.
No.
What you've just said is appalling. What you've just said is an offense to anyone who's ever eaten.
Stugatz.
Ketchup. Oh, my God. Don't like it on anything, but...
What?
Ketchup? Yeah.
You're un-American!
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Did your guys' parents take pictures of you on the first day of school every year?
Yep.
Yeah.
You cherish them?
Nope.
I cherish the ones I took of my kids.
Oh.
Yes. Like that.
Do you always do like the same spot so we see like the growth over the years or is just
no?
Like, no?
Hmm. I mean, Abby usually
does. Well, you say you cherish them. When's the last time you looked at them?
Recently.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he's going through.
Only because I'm dropping
now.
My kids off at college.
Yeah.
Are you sad?
A little bit, yeah.
I have a question for you about this because I don't know about this,
right.
And I didn't live in a dorm when I was in college. What just happened?
Witty burped.
Really?
Yeah.
You're capable?
They program
into
burps,
a microphone?
They program burps in his last software update.
So,
Oh, man.
Stugatz, I have a question for you because you're taking your daughters to college and dropping them off at their dorms, right?
Right.
I wasn't aware of this until recently when someone told me about it. You can hire like interior decorators to like dress up your children's dorms. Like that's a thing now.
Right.
Did you do that? Is that a thing you're familiar with?
No. So all my daughter wanted and her roommate was wallpaper because it's like, it's a weird cement wall, like brick wall. And so she just wanted wallpaper over it. And so we didn't hire anyone. Her roommate's dad did it for us.
Well, what were you doing?
Watching.
It's for your daughter?
Man,
you had someone else's dad come in?
I can't
and do
that. I'm not good at that. It's not something. Like I told them on the front end, hey, I'll take you out for dinner that night. I'll buy you drinks. But I ain't laying wallpaper. Like, that's not happening. I'm not doing that. I don't know how to do it. It's hard.
But learn. You learn for your daughter.
No, he knew how to do it. He said he could do it in an hour. And he did.
Well, did his daughter want that too? Or this was just like you hired this person to do this job for your daughter?
No, our daughters decided on the wallpaper that they wanted. And her dad said, hey, I'm good at this. I could do it. I got it. And he did it. And he did it very, very well. So why would I get in the way of that? So I was eating pizza. I was watching him. I was entertaining. I was hanging out with both kids. I was doing what I do. Yeah. Yes, I was entertaining.
And did you follow through and go out and take out to the drinks or whatever?
No, I got everyone lunch. I got pizza up at Syracuse, New York. I brought it back for everyone. I was in charge of the music. Like I was doing, I was doing what I do.
What was this?
Which
lovely,
is nothing.
This lovely person's name.
That's a good question.
Oh, it was just dead songs too, wasn't
Why
it?
Why are you asking me this? Why are you putting me on the spot and getting me in a bad spot?
I had just learned that there was a thing that now parents pay for their kids' dorms to be decorated in a certain way, and I had
they
never
do.
Heard
dorm,
of that.
Dorm decorations have taken on a
it's
new
like a big deal.
Life.
Yes.
If you ever go on TikTok or Pinterest or whatever and see like what some people are doing in their dorms, it looks crazy and it looks very expensive. And it just seems like a complete waste of money because you live there for what, like?
Did you do anything
months?
To your dorm?
No, my dorm was a shithole.
It was,
it
right?
Was, the building
like,
was
it's kind
raised
of supposed
like two
to be
years after I moved out.
Right.
Like, they demolished it.
It's kind of supposed
we
to be a shithole, your dorm, no?
Absolutely.
That's part of the charm of college, right?
I actually, my dorm at Clemson was very weird in that we had four girls in one dorm, but we had our own kitchenette and our own bathroom inside our dorm room. Which most people have the communal bathroom like in the hallway where they all have to like share bathrooms and whatnot. But we put all of our four bunk beds in the bedroom. So all four of us slept in the same room. And then we had our own like living room with all of our desks and a little like TV and a futon. It was actually very nice. However, since the bathroom was like in our dorm, we were responsible for cleaning it ourselves.
Right.
And I lived with some very messy people that did not know how to clean things very thoroughly. And it was very disgusting. It was probably a health hazard. I think I got sick cleaning it at one point because I inhaled mold fumes. But you, like, leaving 18-year-olds, regardless of gender, all 18-year-olds are relatively disgusting, in charge of cleaning up after themselves in that capacity is just a horrible idea. And they tore that building down.
Clemson My House. Daughter called me to ask me how to do laundry.
You asked someone else.
Well, my wife and I walked her through how to do
your
it.
Your roommate's She's, dad do
wait,
it for
hold
you?
Hold on. You still did your daughter's laundry?
You called Bob, oh, roommate's
you're
dad.
Laying a lot of you're laying a lot of wallpaper these days, Whittingham?
You didn't make your kids do their own laundry in high school? I've been doing laundry since I was like in fifth grade.
My daughter, we have a joke in our house because she went to private school up at North Broward Prep. So her first day of college was her first day of school. She's like, Dad, they don't remind us about homework. Like, I just have to write that. I'm like, yeah, that's school. Congratulations on your first day.
Did you just say you love to do laundry? Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Cathartic, yes. Don't bring out the chickens.
Chicken
no. No. chickens. Get the hell back in there. I've been saying that for decades. Not intimidated by the chickens today.
Can we call Abby, please? Because he's pretending now. He's leaning in saying, I've been saying it for years, as if that makes it true.
Fabric softener!
It's a good point by you.
I mean, you are so full of shit.
Yeah. I love the softener. You know what else I love, Dan? They have this thing now, so you can mix colors. You can put a couple of sheets in the actual wash, right? And that prevents colors from bleeding into the whites.
Colors still bleed? Yeah. I feel like we're in a post-separation world of separating whites from colors in the laundry.
I agree. I haven't separated.
I am specifically talking about laundry. I'm just using this out of context. Everything's cold wash now. Every material is synthetic, and everything needs to be washed cold, and the colors don't bleed if it's all cold, right? Am I crazy?
So let me ask you a question, Stu, since you like to do laundry. Sure. When do I go from cold? Warm to hot? Like, what do I do? Because I'm doing laundry, but I will just throw everything in together. But all my clothes look ridiculous.
I throw everything in together, put a couple of these sheets in that separate, you know, so the colors don't bleed into the whites.
What?
And then I put some detergent in. What do you mean, what?
What are those sheets? The sheets I put in are in the dryer sheets.
No, those are softeners, okay? These are sheets that prevent the colors from bleeding into the whites that you put in. So you can throw everything into one thing. You don't believe they exist, Billy?
I've never heard of it.
They're fantastic. Great invention. I mean,
we've got to go through this.
It changed the laundry game. I'm serious.
Stugatz is now aggressively fighting with the chickens, who are undefeated. The chickens.
They're not going to win this one.
Okay. You're really saying this? This is the one you're staking it on. Whittingham, can we please call Abby and find out whether Stugatz finds cathartic to just sit around doing laundry? Because I want to get to the truth. It says we might be on the precipice here of a historic Stugatz defeating the chickens. Stop texting your wife, please.
No, I'm giving Chris the number. That's all I'm doing.
You would understand why I would not trust you from any turn here.
Of course
here.
I do.
I also don't think she'll lie for him, though. So I don't think that that's something we need to worry about that much.
She won't.
I've also found here on Amazon a 72 sheets Shout color catcher dye trapping sheet.
Thank you.
So I think I can verify Stugatz's use of this here.
You don't need that.
What you got, chickens? Huh?
All right. Well, we will. So you are feeling confident before we go after Abby here, and because there are a couple of things I wanted to get to. One of them is, again, and I do not know why this keeps happening to us on a Wednesday.
The drilling.
That.
You guys hear that too?
Well, I hope the audience doesn't hear that, because yes, the show has been vibrating all show. They've been drilling for 2 hours. I hope it's not too disorienting for the audience, because our bodies have been shaking for 2 hours. But First Take, they're yelling at each other, and we need to get an update. And also, football is upon us now, and Jessica is about to head into the storm. Jessica, ostensibly, forgive me, because I don't know if we've introduced you to the audience this way, Jessica. We kind of agreed on it was going to be a college football thing, and then it morphed into a whole lot of other things. things, right? But you're
are we talking about?
The work you would be doing for Meadowlark Media.
What things don't I do is a better description. MMA, that's Tony's thing.
Mm. But college football,
everything else though.
You're headed where?
Well, you're very talented. I mean,
oh, thank you, Stugatz.
Got it.
You should listen to Golic and Smitty this week. You get a shout out like once every couple episodes.
Do I really?
I am going to the Backyard Brawl tomorrow night, Pitt, West Virginia.
Oh, wow!
Wow! Oh, wow!
On the schedule, week one, Thursday night.
Amazing.
Formerly Heinz Field, now Acrisure Stadium or whatever the hell they call it. Very excited, Dan. Week one. There's a lot of good matchups this weekend. My alma mater playing Ohio State Saturday night. FSU, LSU, sneaky underrated game on Sunday night. There's going to be some fun things with the return of college football season.
Is Notre Dame season going to end in 3 hours? Like
No, absolutely. It's week one. They're playing the number two team in week one. Even if they lose by 30 points, if they win out the rest of their games or maybe have one other loss to like Clemson or USC or whatever, well, you can still make the playoff. That's the beauty of playing a difficult schedule and getting a tough opponent out in week one. Same goes for Oregon and Georgia and all the other teams this weekend.
I was curious because, again, Golic and Smitty will be covering college football, and she is headed Pittsburgh. Her fandom, her football fandom, is in an interesting place post-Roethlisberger. Kenny Pickett he looked like a professional quarterback for Pittsburgh last year, and now he goes to the Steelers, and it's a cool story, and he's going to be the one to replace Roethlisberger soon, I would imagine. And
although Mike Tomlin is not yet named the starter. He was asked yesterday, and he's still not yet deciding who's going to start a quarterback for the
Steelers.
They've
decided. I like that. I think Mitch Trubisky
gamesmanship.
Will start.
Yep. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't show him your hand, Dano.
But I think it's smart to let Kenny Pickett have a few extra weeks to get some more practice reps in and go on the road with the team and kind of feel it out. And then
there's a danger to that, though.
I don't think there really
is.
If
Mitch is good and the team's playing well, he never comes out.
What's the danger in that? That's a great problem to have.
You don't know. Well, Stugatz, he was 0-16 in goal line situations like this, right? Smitty, I was reading some stats. Trubisky wasn't exactly showing anybody anything during the preseason that makes you think he's going to be something more than what we've seen from Trubisky.
Yeah, he can be fine, though, and that will be enough to, like, win a few games and then have Kenny Pickett come in, you know, a third of the way through the season if that's what they want to do. If he's not ready to start week one, maybe he's ready to start week one and the Steelers haven't led on to that yet, and he will start, but it doesn't seem like he will. It seems like it's Mitch Trubisky's job to lose. He's a more veteran quarterback. Not saying he's a veteran quarterback, but he has played in the NFL. He has started games, and they don't need him to do that much. They have a good defense. They have a solid run game, a great tight end. And he just needs to kind of spread the ball out and play his game, and they can.
It's gonna
win
be
a few
boring,
games.
Though. No, like, don't you feel
Why
like you're
boring?
Headed toward a grinding sort of 7-10 season?
He's never had a losing season, Mike Tomlin.
Okay, fine. Then a grinding 9-8 season like last year's. Don't you feel like you're just headed toward Mike Tomlin willing you to 9 wins? You know, they've spent the last 3 years. I don't want to talk Steelers. I don't want to dive too deep.
Apparently, you do
on Steelers football. What I did want to dive a little deeper on with you, because you're doing with Golic, it's not a Notre Dame podcast, it's not even college football, but it's not just a college football podcast, but in watching that Untold series on Netflix, and they really are telling some cool sports stories, and they're telling them well, telling the Manti Te'o story with all of it, with the religious connotations of Notre Dame, with what it is that Notre Dame aspires to be as an institution beyond football, that Manti Te'o would come out of that, all of that catfishing shame situation, with the shame being something that we should be feeling, and that he would be forgiving of everybody, that he would be a shining light for what Notre Dame tries to represent. Hearing Manti Te'o's story, or seeing it told that way, when you reflect back on what our behavior was 10 years ago, Stugatz.
Are you going to apologize?
And he forgives us.
For True or Kakua?
Yeah, you have to apologize.
Should
for
we?
You can apologize to me, actually, on should. Behalf of
Sorry,
Notre Dame.
Jess.
We should apologize, yes.
You weren't born yet.
That's true.
What?
I was in college. I accept your apology, though. I think you're right, Dan. He seems to have time has sort of healed some of those wounds. He did seem very emotional at the end of the documentary.
But to be so forgiving of everyone.
Yeah, I think that's
like speaks to the level of what kind of person he is.
Yeah, that seems like it's in his nature. Like that's kind of what Jack Swarbrick has been saying as the person who represents the university, who's been defending Manti for 10 years. He's incredibly trusting and kind, and maybe that was something that hurt him because he trusted this person too much and didn't seem to question if they were real or not.
It was such a story of sweet innocence just sort of stolen by the machine and the time and to hear him telling it for the first time, hurt but forgiving. I just can't think of a better way for that story to be framed for him in the telling of it for the first time, because Colin Kaepernick chose to tell his story through Nick Offerman and an assortment of Netflix devices, trying to, you know, reach people in the content age with art on being iconic figures. That choice was a cool one that he made, to trust those people with that story that had been quiet for 10 years to do it well, to tell it with grace, and to tell it in a way that was compassionate to him. I'd love any documentary that makes you look at yourself and be like, ooh, I did that.
I was part of that in a weird way.
I went with that crowd.
Not me specifically.
How'd it feel?
But you guys, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, shameful. It feels shameful.
Truer Kakua, that whole thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you're also, like, not examining the context of the moment. We weren't familiar with catfishing at that time. And I would say also, as a society, probably a bit crueler, right? Like, it was.
No, we're still very cruel. I think the lesson of it, Witty, is to think of what are the things happening right now that maybe we don't know the full story behind that we will learn from in 5 years, like
10 years from now.
We screwed up on that.
Oh,
and address
God,
that now before
everywhere.
We make the mistake again.
But we should have known with that one right there. That should have been one of them where we pause for a second.
Yeah, we should have paused and been like, huh.
But our jobs are to react in the moment, though.
Well, the reaction was disproportionately negative towards a 21-year-old instead of towards multiple other failures by the media and by everyone else that let this thing happen, Stugatz. That's the problem. Like, he was the victim of the catfishing, and he became the main perpetrator in people's eyes. Like, it was his fault. Like, we blamed him for it.
Right. It became he's telling this apocryphal story that makes him seem bigger and better than he is. Right.
And
like,
while
knowing that it wasn't true.
It was a story about our cynicism. He must be doing the wrong thing. We jumped to a conclusion as this innocent got catfished for just being too trusting and is in the middle of the sports marketing machine, Heisman winner with his story, running into the breach on behalf of Notre Dame football, an icon, a symbol of strength in his culture for his people, trying to get to football, and he gets fooled by the internet and his pants get caught around his ankles, you know, just ashamed, dragged, life altered, painful, and at the end of it, he finds forgiveness. Just an unbelievable story on behalf of what the Christians would have you believe that that the religion is, not of football, but of, like, you make the sacrifice and you forgive all.
My favorite, everybody. My favorite is, like, people thought, like, Notre Dame was in on it. Like, Notre Dame was manufacturing this, like, fake relationship to make Notre Dame seem better. If Notre Dame had their way, no one would date at that school. Anyone, even a fake person that they've never seen.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.